You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. We are ready to talk some Steelers football, good, bad, or indifferent, but here we go. My name is Matt. That is Mark. What is happening, man? And before we start with the obvious, how are you outside of Steelerland?
How am I outside of Steeler? You mean if we took everything Steelers and just pretended it disappeared, how am I? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, yes.
I'm pretty good. My son's football season is over, so I have my weeknights back and Saturdays back, and it was a fun season. We weren't totally successful, but it was a great experience for him. And so yeah, okay. You know, it's getting to be fall, and colors changing. So yeah, outside of that S word you mentioned, yeah, I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad here. Here in Central PA, it was a balmy 74 degrees today and sunny and rainy when it should be like lower 60s. So, yeah, I'm doing all right, I suppose. Can't complain too much, of course, outside of the S word. But now that we're here and we're ready to talk about the S word because that's why we're on the air doing this, we might as well jump right into the epic debacle, disaster, nightmare that is your 2014 Pittsburgh Steelers. And before we even start anything, I really, really just got to get this off my chest. It's driving me bananas that I hear so many people say, oh, the Steelers always own the Browns. Ben's 18-1, or the Steelers are great in prime time. You know, everybody seems to have this thing going on that the Steelers are just going, you know, this is all the old records that Pittsburgh's always been so good at against all these teams and in all these scenarios. This year, that means absolutely squat, because these are not the Steelers of 5 years ago or 10 years ago. These are not the Steelers who run the gambit in prime time, and they own the Browns, and they always beat the the Bengals, and they always split with the Ravens. This is a whole new problematic 2014 Steelers, to which nothing makes sense.
No, you're right. It's what do they call that? The mystery wrapped in the riddle, mystery, enigma, all that stuff. You know, look, I told you last week, man, I thought they were going to lose. Now, I didn't anticipate for the life of me that it was going to be the way it was. I thought, you know, maybe a 27-21 type game. I just felt like Cleveland, you know, had a great week the week before with their big comeback. I think they were feeling good about themselves. Hoyer was playing well. And that zone read running game scares the crap out of me, because I know Dick LeBeau's defense just doesn't stop it when it's executed well. And Cleveland executed it well again. They've now rushed for over 300 yards against us in two games. And it had just kind of all started right there. And, I was trying to think of a game in recent memory that perhaps left Steeler fans feeling quite this way. And the only thing in recent memory I can come up with was that opener in Baltimore where we got beat 35-7 or whatever it was, and we ended up going 12-4 that year, but we lost a tiebreaker to the Ravens, and of course lost in Denver, I believe, in the playoffs. But this was just ugly, and it was ugly on a lot of levels, and it was really the kind of the culmination of a lot of things we've been seeing.
Well, it really was. And there's, you know, I mean, people say, you know, don't hit the panic button. We're still into October right now. Well, you know, this team is just not playing well. They've only looked really good in one game and one win against Carolina. Everything else, I mean, you know, clearly they could have very well lost to Cleveland in the opener.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so many things that are going on with this team. And to me, when you look at them on the field, they just look lost. There's no confidence. There's no swagger. There's no toughness. They just are pretty much, you know, they don't seem to have any fight in them. Now, I know obviously that they're trying. I'm not saying that these players in the NFL don't try, but there's a total lack of leadership and some kind of internal meltdown that is brewing, excuse me, with this team right now. And it all starts and ends with Tomlin, but there are so many other people involved here. I mean, we said before that there's a three-headed monster in the coaching world and for the Steelers, and you know, this comes back to the last several years of bad drafts and, you know, injuries and, you know, the play calling and players just not executing. I mean, it's, you know, it's more than just bad play calling in the red zone. This team just does not have that much talent, and it's plain and simple. It really doesn't.
Well, the only I think it's got a decent amount of offensive talent. I just, for the life of me, Todd Haley does two things. Number one, he doesn't use the talent as well as he should. And number two, he continues to try to outthink the opposition in instances when it's the old keep it simple, stupid. How many third and ones or third and twos are we going to see with no LeGarrette Blount on the field, with Ben in the shotgun, trying to squeeze in a throw, you know, that's across the field, it's a 5 yard out? I mean, why did we get LeGarrette Blount? Run the damn ball when it's third and two. You know, look, I understand there's going to be times you're not going to get it, and I'm going to scream, why didn't you do something different? That's football. It's the second-guessing game of all games. But at least use the guys you've got to the abilities or the way that we are supposed to use them. I don't understand it. And defensively, now there's a lack of talent, in my opinion. I mean, we just don't look good there. Now Steve McClendon's out on Monday night, which means you're going to see the rookie McCullers get his first action. And who knows what we're going to get out of him. I mean, you hope he can clog the middle, but I don't know how well he's going to be able to do. And lo and behold, we're playing against another fantastic zone read offense. So it could get ugly again on Monday.
Well, you're right. And I think, you know, you're right. On defense, obviously, there's a tremendous lack of talent, you know, more so on the offensive side. You know, guys like Cortez Allen needs to be benched for a while. Okay. I mean, clearly the guy is just not picking up where he left off in the past with that big fat contract he's got now. Sure. The secondary as a whole is problematic. You know, there's no pass rush. You know, you've got injuries to young players. And I think one thing that's interesting is Tomlin said today in his presser, and we can get into some of those comments here, is that, you know, he thinks maybe now it's time to start playing some of the younger players. Why weren't, you know, I mean, I get that, you know, McCullers is a young guy. He doesn't really know what he's doing yet. But this is the age-old problem with the Steelers is, you know, they let things go to a point of almost disaster before they'll start playing younger guys. And even then, they don't always play them. And, you know, he said today in his presser, I think it was today, that he said that basically, you know, they're not going to alter the defense or the offense. They're going to make the guys be accountable. Well, that's just a definition of insanity right now, because you've got an overwhelming lack of talent on defense. Guys clearly cannot do what they're asked, but you're going to tell them to step up? I mean, maybe it's time to just run some basic defensive formations, get everybody on the same page, run it well, and then work your way back up over time and into your more exotic blitzes that you're used to seeing.
Well, and you make great points, and it's just going to piggyback on some things that I've seen and thought and probably written and read and all the above. You know, LeBeau's defense, we hear all the time, oh, geez, you don't really truly know it until your third year, you know, and I hear that, and it drives me nuts. It goes back to what you were saying about they want the players to adapt to the defense. Well, how about actually coaching these guys and putting them in positions that best suit their skills? And if that means you have to go to some exotic 3-4 or exotic defense altogether, then you do it. You have to find what's successful, because the base 3-4 and even the nickel, it's not working right now. You got to figure out something else. You know, and I was listening to Mark Cabali today being interviewed by Ken Laird on Trib Live Radio. And, you know, he made a point. He said, if you look across the league right now, every team that is doing well is getting pretty good contributions from rookies. And then you look at the Steelers, and granted, in Shazier's case, there's been an injury, but we've already cut one of the guys, Wesley Johnson, so Ross Ventrone could come on the squad last week. You know, and everybody else hasn't really done anything. And again, this is a broken record, really dating back about 6-7 years now with Kevin Colbert in terms of both failed drafts, and now you've got the issue of failed free agency with Lance Moore, with Mike Mitchell, and with Cam Thomas being pretty bad.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, this team has always been a team that prided itself on, you know, drafting well and bringing young players along slowly and easing them into the system. And there hasn't been, you know, there's so many players that have been cut without even making the team, or guys that have been on the roster and do nothing. Or, you know, it drives me nuts every year that, you know, a fifth-round draft pick never makes the squad or ends up going somewhere else. Or, you know, you have a first rounder who ends up sitting on the bench too long. You know, there's so many things about this team from the front office perspective that really are to blame for this start. And really over the years, the last 2 years of being 8-8, it drives me bananas because the Steelers have always, you know, they always seem to pride themselves on doing so well in the draft and hitting on so many players. But if you look back over the last drafts, over the last 5 to 7 years or so, look how many players from those drafts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I'm not even talking, you know, like, you know, your scrub seventh round picks so much as just your rounds for 1 to 5. So many of those guys are not even on this team right now. And you spend so much money on these guys. And they just never panned out. And I was talking to you on email today, and I sent you a spreadsheet, you know, looking at some of the players of old, those say, you know, for the last 10 years. You know, if you look at that, it's back in 2004, so many of the players on the Pittsburgh that were doing well, that were big contributors, you know, guys like Aaron Smith and right. James Ferrier, guys that were lower round draft picks or free agents, you know, the Steelers front office was able to bring in talent of all rounds and free agents and make that work in this defense, and we were dominant. And now if you look at this team on defense, we've got a lot of first rounders, a lot of high round draft picks, and so many of them just stink. I mean, obviously Shazier is an exception because he's hurt. I get it. He was playing well. But, you know, outside of Timmons, who's doing well, Polamalu, who's been there forever, there's so many people on this defense now that are supposed to be stepping up, and just none of them are.
Well, no, and you're right, and it goes back to the old issue that you could draft talent, you could sit that talent and have it play special teams because you had even better talent sitting in front of it, and that is not the case anymore. That is gone. The talent that is drafted or the free agents that are coming in have to perform now. And again, I this goes back to LeBeau and certainly to Tomlin. If they are not going to adjust to let these guys do what they do well, then this is what it's going to be. It's going to be mediocrity. 8-8. I mean, you look at I think we're 19-19 now since Haley came on board. I mean, this is what the team has been. And I think Monday night's going to be really interesting because I sensed, much like you said in the open, I sensed a team that really kind of just didn't give a shit, Matt. I mean, Ben looked like he'd rather been anywhere but on the field by the end of the second quarter. Some of the defensive guys, I thought, were kind of the same way. You know, even when they'd get a halfway decent play, there was no celebrating, there was nothing. It just looks like a team that is confused. We know that there's got to be dysfunction because they can't communicate for their lives. I mean, they took a timeout after a Cleveland timeout, okay, because there was not that we had too many guys on the field after a freaking timeout. I mean, they didn't even run a play, and we had to call a back-to-back timeout. You know, that just screams to me dysfunction. And when that's happening, guys lose interest, or they start playing for themselves, and sometimes that doesn't help either.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, it's like when you watch this team, it's just like they don't have the heart. You know, they don't have the toughness that we're used to seeing. I mean, you know, Hines Ward says they're soft. He says he doesn't know this team. Bill Cowher's, you know, basically calling out this team saying they're soft. And you know, Tomlin says in his presser today that, well, that's just elevator music. I don't really care what they say. But, and, you know, honestly, I mean, I guess I expect him to say that to some degree because, you know, as a head coach, you can't really, you know, take the criticism too much to heart. But you know, in his head, he has to be agreeing with him, saying this team just does not have any toughness. They're not playing like they're used, like we're used to seeing. And you're right. Like once they kind of got down and out of it a little bit, like all the fight just left. Guys were dropping passes. Guys were getting frustrated. You know, I mean, we're still the most penalized team in the league right now, I think, or pretty close to it. You know, it's a total meltdown. You know, let's move on a little bit to Tomlin's presser today. You know, he was calling out some guys for, you know, obviously, you know, Lance Moore dropping some passes and, you know, well, maybe we should get Martavis Bryant involved more now because we're kind of sucking, you know, was essentially what he said. You know, but what stood out from his presser today on your end?
Well, we'll get to our halftime break here in just a second, Matt. I think it's funny you mentioned earlier that, you know, now we're all of a sudden going to depend on two rookies if we do, in fact, bring in Martavis Bryant now, if he gets a helmet, and the same with McCullers. I mean, McCullers is going to have to play. He's going to have to play significant snaps to replace McClendon. And now Martavis Bryant, all of a sudden now that our red zone struggles are a big issue, he's going to come in and save the day. You know, here's a guy that had a great training camp, don't get me wrong, and did some very athletic things. But, I mean, he hasn't played in an NFL game yet. And now we're just going to expect Ben to throw the ball up in the air and let him go get it? I mean, I hope it's that simple, but I don't know that it is. And in the other news that kind of came out of this in terms of personnel was it sounds like Bryce McCain is going to see a significant amount of time, which I think we need to see, considering he only had 12 snaps on Sunday, a week after he basically clinched the win at Jacksonville with a pick six. So there's going to be some new guys on the field, and I think for right now it's probably fairly refreshing. But let me close that thought, Matt. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. For $29.95 a month, you get 24-hour access, and there's no contract. Body Tech offers a full juice bar, powerlifting room, yoga, spinning classes, silver sneakers, student rates, a woman's only room, and certified personal trainers. If you need to get back in shape or you're just looking to build on what you have, get into Body Tech today. They're located on Perry Highway in Pittsburgh. Call 412-364-7334 and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you.
And we're back here talking Steelers football here after the break. Yeah, so let's keep going with that, with the theme of the young players on defense. And I think it's refreshing, too. You know, I like seeing the young guys out there. And quite honestly, regardless of how good or bad they are, they can't be any worse than this team is playing right now. You know, so many people over the last couple of years have said, well, the Steelers defense is, you know, top, you know, ranked pretty high in the league, you know, stat-wise. And yeah. You know, so freaking what? It doesn't matter. Stats can be skewed in almost any possible direction, you know, if you really get right down to it. I mean, this is a defense that, you know, yeah, we may not suck as far as the stats go every year, but this is a defense that goes to sleep in the second half, that lets teams drive up and down them in the second half. They fall apart in the fourth quarter. You know, I mean, I'd rather have a team that fights to the death in the fourth quarter and maybe doesn't always win, but wins some of the time, rather than having a, you know, an upper echelon ranked defense that gets pretty much mauled and gutted every time the second half rolls around. Just see, I'm okay with maybe Cortez Allen taking a seat for a while, because he's done nothing. You know, I mean, he was, you know, he was hurt a couple of years ago, and then he started to come on again last year, and now he's just kind of like everybody else on the defense, struggling. So at this point, as bad as the defense is playing, why not bring on the young guys? Because right now, even though we're not technically out of anything yet, something has to give.
Did you happen to catch Mike Mitchell's comments? Now Mitchell, in his defense, he probably had his best game as a Steeler. I think he had three or four pass breakups, and he forced a fumble, but he said that, you know, we dictated our game, we basically got beat on a couple of gadget plays.
What?
That's what he said. I mean, okay, so play action pass to your tight end, that's a gadget play? You know, Antoine Randle L to Heinz Ward in Super Bowl 40, that's a gadget play. You know, sometimes you just, as I did on the film review thing for the website yesterday, sometimes you just get beat on a play. Sometimes you just tip your hat to the other team and say, hey, you got us, man. That was a good play. And that first long pass to Cameron was just that. It was a perfectly run play off of that read, the zone read action, and it was well done. And, you know, to say that, well, we got beat on some gadget plays, I mean, come on, Mike. You're better off just saying nothing.
I'd say, I mean, yeah, you have to laugh at this team right now. I was talking to a buddy of mine at work today, and he's a Browns fan, so of course I got an earful in at work today. And, you know, I was like, look, dude, I really can't combat anything you're saying because right now this team stinks. You know, I mean, we had problems in the red zone. We can't stop anybody on defense. You know, the kicking game isn't all that bad, but there's so many problems right now that – You know, and I hearken back to what I said earlier is that, you know, this is not your same old Steelers. You know, this is not the same old Browns. The Browns have clearly started to gain confidence. They've got a coach and they've got some stability. They've got a quarterback that's playing pretty decent now. So, you know, they feel like they've turned the corner. And, you know, even an average team playing with a whole lot of confidence can be, you know, just tough to deal with on any given Sunday. And clearly at this point between, you know, in the AFC North, the Browns and Steelers – They're going in the complete opposite directions.
Well, you know, and it goes back again to what we were talking about. I mean, if you look at the division, you know, Baltimore is playing very well right now, and really could have beaten and maybe should have beaten Cincinnati in the opener. I mean, they very well could be 5-6-0 right now. Cincinnati has got some struggles now with injuries coming off that tie, and now they've got to go to Indianapolis. But when you look at all three of the other teams in the division, they have gotten better. And I don't think the Steelers have gotten better. I think there's talent. There's some talent, especially offensively. But it's just not being used. It's just not getting done. And I think the seller is looking as a very real possibility by the end of this season if things don't turn around. And the schedule's not going to get easier. You know, yeah, there's some teams still out there. The Titans are on the schedule and the Jets and some other teams out there. But by and large, this team better get it together because it's going to be too late, just like it was last year.
Isn't it ironic that in a year when the offensive line is as healthy as it's been, you know, with the starting five intact, that we're struggling this much, you know, struggling to beat teams that we normally beat or that we should beat? You know, it strikes me as so funny because, you know, normally I can say, well, you know, we suck on offense because the offensive line is hurt and we're playing musical chairs. This year, that line is basically intact. You know, some people dinged up here and there, but these guys are together and we still stink. So, you know, clearly that the offensive line is not the only issue. Obviously, it's always going to be some issue. But as far as the red zone goes, you know, they get in the red zone, they run three times, they don't score. They get in the red zone, they pass three times, and they don't score. They run, they pass, they run, they pass, they run, they pass, and they still don't score. So, you know, we as fans are complaining that they're not running enough. Then we're saying they're running too much. I mean, is there anything that you can pinpoint off the top of your head that would say this team has a problem in the red zone, or is it all Haley? Is it just players not executing the plays that are there? I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Ben needs to calm his ass down on the audibles because I think he's overthinking it at times. When there's a pass, he's calling a run and vice versa, and maybe something that was there, he is audibling out of it, and that's causing, you know, maybe a situation where we don't score like we were going to.
Well, and there's a number of things here to touch on, Matt. I agree with you. I think what they have to do is, you know, Ben comes up to the line, and quite often he's got a run-pass option based on whatever formation they're in. And when he looks at that, you know, he's going to determine where guys are, who's in the box, who's not. Are we looking at man coverage? Are we looking at zone? I mean, he's processing a lot. But you're right. Sometimes you just got to go with the play, and he's the guy on the field that gives us the best chance to win. So just keep it in your hand, Ben, and take care of it. And you know, the next thing is, part of it is a lack of execution. There were two or three times, and I thought Cleveland did an excellent job of standing up our offensive line and not allowing anybody to get to the second level. Dante Whitner came flying up in the red zone four or five times to make hits on our running backs within, say, 3 to 4 yards. You're not going to get downfield doing that. And so to me, ultimately, this whole thing, you can talk about Ben and audibling, you can talk about execution, there is absolutely no creativity in the red zone. We're either running it out of the shotgun draw, the shotgun counter off tackle, or we're running an end around, or we're running a wide receiver screen. You know, what has happened to the slants? What has happened, you know, to the choice routes where the guy, you know, gets into the end zone and he's either going to go left or right based on how the coverage is playing? I mean, Denver does this just nonstop, and it literally is an unstoppable play. And I don't see us do any of that stuff. It's always kind of like, well, let's throw it up. And you know, they had the one fade last week to Brown. I mean, come on. You're going to throw the fade to a guy that's 5'9.5"? I mean, come on. There just isn't creativity. They obviously lack balance because for 2 weeks in a row, all they did was pass. This week, all they did was run. You know, so it's a constant struggle. I mean, if they weren't moving the ball between the 20s, I think we'd probably just not even talk about it. But the fact is, they're racking up yards. They just can't do anything in the red zone.
So but before we get into the upcoming game a little bit this week, do you think Tomlin has lost this team, lost the respect of the players, or, you know, I mean, take themselves out of this? Or is this something where wholesale changes are going to have to be made at multiple positions before they try and figure out a new plan of attack to start getting some wins? You know, I mean, is this obviously the head coach always takes the brunt of everything, but yeah. You know, Tomlin talks a good game. He's always, you know, he's a player's coach, or he's not a player's coach. I don't know, but has he lost this team to the point where he may not get them back this year?
I you know, you and I and Chris, you know, at Steel_by_design, our other writer at Steel City Blitz, who did a great piece today. You know, we were emailing today and we were talking about if this team, let's say, misses the playoffs again, regardless of what the record is, you know, if you listed Todd Haley, Mike Tomlin, Dick LeBeau, Kevin Colbert, Ben Roethlisberger, if you said those five guys, one of them was going to be gone, we both, Chris and I, came up with Dick LeBeau. We both felt that he would be the guy most likely gone. And my reasoning, I can't speak for Chris, but my reasoning was simply that there's no secret that Art Rooney too brought in Todd Haley as some sort of token because of his relationship with Haley's father. There's no doubt that that's a part of it. It's not, might not be all of it, but it's a part of it. So he's not going to go anywhere. Therefore, you got to look for somebody. And I don't think the Steelers, especially the front office, they're not going to be impatient. That's not their style. They'll give Tomlin a shot. They're not going to run Colbert out yet unless he decides to, quote-unquote, retire. But I think it would be LeBeau because, let's face it, this defense is bad. It's not good at all. It can't cover. It can't get pressure. It struggles against the run. And when you can't do those three things, you're sunk as a team. And, you know, so I think that's where I am. And so in answering your question, as long-winded as I possibly can, I think Tomlin has lost some guys. But I don't know that it's all his fault. I think that he's frustrated by what's happening, and I'm not sure he really understands or really knows how to handle it. So, yeah, I think he's lost some guys. Can he get them back? Yeah, he can. But the danger is he's going to lose more.
Well, you know, and I think I will see. Ultimately, I think it more this, you know, this is more Tomlin's fault than what, you know, maybe we want to realize, is because if you're the head coach, you're supposed to be able to make the changes that you think are going to work, and it's on you, you know, for this team to succeed or not. You know, you're given a roster of players, you hire the coaches you want. You know, obviously, you know, the Rooneys have some say as to how, you know, Haley coming in here, as you mentioned. As far as the defense goes, you know, LeBeau's, nobody's going to run him out of town, I don't think necessarily. You know, so I get that maybe he's handicapped a little bit by that, but ultimately he's the head coach. And if, from a defensive side, you know, obviously the 3-4 is not a archaic defense. I mean, right now it's almost half and half in the NFL with teams that are running it. You know, I got some information from one of our Twitter friends, Douglas Bates on Twitter. who actually, you know, is a good friend of mine. And he sent me some information that, you know, in 2004, there were only five teams running the 34. Right now, there's all, I think it's a 15-17 split or something like that. So the defensive 3-4 is not the problem. It's a lack of talent. It's a lack of drafting talent, which falls on Colbert and Tomlin. You know, I would guess if I were to say if one of those people were not going to be back next year, I would probably think it would be LaBelle. You know, maybe the Rooney's trying to say, hey, look, man, it was a great run. Let's try and move on now. You know, I don't think anybody can forcibly run LaBelle out of town. I've said that a million times. He's like a god in Pittsburgh. Yeah, but if there was anybody that was going to go, I don't think the Rooney's are ready to give up on Haley yet. Certainly not on Tomlin or obviously not on Big Ben. So there isn't much else left if you're going to go by that group of players. So I would probably say that as well. And also because you have, you know, Keith Butler, who's been waiting in the wings for what seems like an eternity to try and run his style of defense, which, you know, might be a breath of fresh air, even if it is still a 3-4.
Yeah, you know, and I think here's an interesting thought here. You mentioned that it's gone from roughly five teams in 2004 to almost half the teams. Wouldn't you think that we would be better because of that, because of the fact there's more teams using the outside linebackers and the inside backers like we do, and so there's going to be more guys to choose from in free agency, whereas 10 years ago you literally had to take 4-3 guys and convert them. I mean, wouldn't you think there'd be more eligible guys to fit this defense?
Well, you would think, which, you know, first off comes back to coaching, and, you know, is this defense so incredibly difficult, like everybody says it is, that nobody can learn it, which comes back to the coaches and, you know, maybe dumbing it down a little bit instead of making everything so damn difficult, you know, that we always hear about. Or you could also say that, you know, because there's so many teams running it, everybody's picking up the guys that we would have had pretty much free reign of 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. So, you know, I mean, I guess in some ways you could say that as far as a free agency goes, if Pittsburgh was actually active in free agency and had any money to spend in free agency for anybody other than like your Lance Moore type players, then maybe I could, you know, maybe we could say that they should be better in that case. But the fact that they're always run so close to the cap, they're not active in free agency, and this defense is largely unchanged over so many years, but yet it's still incredibly difficult. It just seems like everything right now is starting to kind of crash and burn around them, and the years of bad drafting certainly are starting to catch up with them.
Yeah, I'll throw this out there too. If you'd asked me this a year ago, I would have been convinced that Keith Butler was going to be the guy in line when LeBeau leaves. I'm not so sure of that now. I think the 3-4 has, and obviously a lot of it has to do with lack of talent, and that's not necessarily Keith Butler's fault, but I just wonder if they aren't ready to make wholesale changes. You know, once Dick LeBeau is done, and again, we're just thinking out loud here, you almost wonder, would they do it across the board, just say, thanks, everybody, so long, bye-bye, we're starting over? I don't know. It's just a brain spur that I had, I guess.
Well, you know, and I tell you, that's something that most every other team in the NFL does is, you know, when you have back-to-back 8-8 seasons, and if this season goes 8-8 or worse, yep, or only 9-7, and there isn't significant improvement, you know, and then, you know, the Steelers are not the team that's going to make wholesale changes, but maybe they should. I mean, maybe that's an option to try. You know, clearly they don't ever go that route. And you can say, well, the Steelers have done this, been this way, and they've got six Super Bowls around it. Well, yeah, you know, that was an NFL that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Times have changed now. Players are a lot more expensive. That there's a significantly smaller talent pool, you know, in the draft each year. I mean, you know, you have a handful of good players and you've got a whole lot of okay to averagely, you know, maybe slightly above average players. But, you know, this is a league that's starving for talent now, and, you know, something's got to give. And whether it's the Steelers and their system or it's the front office and how they draft, I mean, there's something that's going to have to change. And, you know, I hope to God that they turn this around in the next, you know, couple of months and we start to make a run, or at least get some wins together, start to put some positive things together. But right now, I'm not convinced that they can. But before we wrap this up, because we've already gone a little bit longer than we usually do, give me a few thoughts on this on this game coming up this week. And can the Steelers rebound? Will they rebound?
Well, number one, it's going to be how do you contain J.J. Watt? you know, he's going to line up everywhere, Matt. He will be over the center. He will be over either guard. He will be over either end or tackle position. He's everywhere, and he has a motor that does not stop. It will not surprise me one bit if he racks up two or three sacks in this game. I obviously hope that's not the case, but that's what I'm thinking right now. The good news is Houston is not that good of a team. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a nice man, but he's not a great quarterback. That said, if the Steelers can't get pressure on him, he'll tear us apart just like anybody else would. So they've got to find ways of doing that. And the biggest concern, of course, is Arian Foster, who probably runs the zone read scheme as well as anyone has. You know, he's going to be better than anything they saw against Cleveland, and that worries me, and then it worries me doubly with McClendon out. So is this a winnable game? Absolutely. It's a Monday night at home in Pittsburgh. You darn well better be ready to play. There's no excuses coming off of this loss. That said, if we don't take care of the football and score in the touchdowns in the red zone, we might be having the same exact conversation a week from tonight.
Well, you're right, and I think obviously J.J. Watt is a huge concern. Foster running the ball, I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong for the Steelers in this game. I can hope that somehow this team kind of, you know, puts that or, you know, gets that the us against the world mentality. You know, everybody thinks you suck, you're terrible, and they come out and then they really stick it to the Texans in this game. But based on what we've seen so far this year, I don't know that they have it in them right now. I mean, they've got injuries. Yep. You know, they have a complete lack of confidence, a complete lack of direction, a complete lack of toughness. I mean, you can insert anything you want in there. This team right now is not the team where, you know, they get punched in the mouth and they come back the next week and run somebody over. You know, that's not what you expect to see right now. I'd like to see it. I would love to see it, but I'm not convinced we see it at all. You know, even the Steelers doing well, you know, in prime time, that's always been the case, but yeah. You know, right now there's so many records that, well, we used to be this and we were always good at that. Those are falling by the wayside left and right this year and over the last couple of years. So right now I have really very little faith in this team to come out and do anything other than be mediocre unless something drastically changes in the next several days.
Well, and I have no reason to think that they're going to be able to suddenly score points either, because the strength of Houston is going to be their defense. There's already discussion that Jadeveon Clowney will be back, and now you're going to have to account for him as well as J.J. Watt on the line. So I'm with you, Matt. Obviously, we do this because we love our black and gold, and we want to win every single game that we ever play. But realistically thinking and speaking here, I think another loss is coming. I just don't see where this team will improve enough to be able to handle the zone read and to be able to handle the pressure.
Well, you know, and you're exactly right. And, you know, just before we wrap up the show here, you know, I hear so many people. I see them on Facebook. I see them on Twitter. You see them on the message boards. Yep. Oh, we're Steeler Nation. We stick together, black and gold till we die. Well, yeah. I mean, I've been bleeding black and gold since I was born. Yeah. I mean, you know, you've been a Steeler fan forever. Just because we complain about this team and we see it, you know, we don't watch at this team through, you know, black and gold sunglasses doesn't mean we're not fans. We are realists right now. And, you know, I mean, it's great that, you know, some people just want to say, oh, well, the Steelers will come back, will be great. That's fine. But, you know, when you realistically look at this team and take a hard look at every position and realize that there is a glaring lack of talent and all too many and a glaring lack of direction everywhere else, you know, we just have to see what happens week to week. You know, I'm not going to predict a win anytime soon. I can tell you that. But, you know, I'm going to hope that they pull themselves together and they come out with a win, and then maybe we can have something more positive to talk about next week. But other than that, I think we will wrap up the show. We have complained more than enough right now for this show, so hopefully we're not complaining next week. But thanks everyone for listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, presented by Body Tech Gym, North Hills, Pittsburgh. Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the contact us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.